This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you. Tonight is, what is it, February 8th, Wednesday, February 8th, 2012. And I still did not get the number of days that we have left to live. But, you know, I'll get on that right away. My name is Doug Kelly. So good to have you, of course, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
We were going to do a little thing on the website that gave a countdown to how many days we have to live, that December 21, 2012, folks. That's what we're giggling about.
Still going to do it as soon as my clone gets back from vacation. Anyways, good to have everybody with us tonight. Metaphysical Universe is a educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore science, spirituality, empower the human spirit, and, you know, just talk about things that help bring about a better world. So we're glad you could be with us tonight. Those who are joining us live, welcome to the program. Those who are listening to the archive, glad you made it. If you'd like to be a part of the program tonight for those live listeners, the number is there on your screen if you'd like to call in, if you have a question or statement or something, or the winning lottery ticket numbers, that'd be fine too. Number is 714-459-3973. Of course, Reverend John Hightower is the man behind the curtain, as always, taking the calls, and he will route you through. You can also, of course, ask questions in the chat room. So we'll look forward to that. Tonight, we're going to be talking about spirit guides, guardian angels, that sort of a thing. You know, are they real? Do they exist? Can they be contacted? We're going to talk about some different things and try to arrive at a reasonable understanding of that whole thing, unless, you know, Vicki goes off the deep end.
Well, I was just thinking, a house full of psychics and not a lottery number in sight. What's up with that, hey? Yeah. I don't know. Some people are lucky and some people aren't. I wonder about that. Don't you wonder about that, Doug? You know, some people have that, I don't know, for lack of better words, that kind of karma, where they just attract all kinds of little bonuses. Mm-hmm. I won a transistor radio once on a TV show when I was 12, I think. Well, that was a big deal.
That was your winnings.
That was it.
Yeah, the universe gave you your transistor radio, and sorry, you're just not in the running for the lottery.
And I tuned into the universe.
Well, especially now that you have a transistor radio.
That's right, that's right. You know, there is a difference between, onto our topic, there's, in my view, there's a big distinction that we have to make between, oh, you know, when people see ghosts or spirits or, you know, other entity forms, there's a big difference between that and what is termed spirit guide, you know, or guardian angel, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but there's a big difference, don't you say, Doug?
Yes. We might as well just get into it.
Say it again. You're in the poltergeist, a paranormal investigation.
Well, poltergeists are, you know, the evidence suggests that poltergeist, which stands for or means noisy ghost in German, the evidence suggests that that's actually the result of a human agent. It's basically psychic ability on the part of an agent, usually somebody in their teens, especially females, but it can be anybody. So that's a little bit different than a guide or a guardian angel, or they go by different names. In fact, maybe I can just kind of give a rundown of some of this just to we'll establish a basis here, and then we can kind of go from there. Spirit guides, guardian angels, guides, even they're even called controls. I'm sure others perhaps have names for them. They're thought to be sentient entities who exist in the spirit realm or an interdimensional realm. They can be just about any type of entity, from a previous human to a non-human or spirit type of an entity. They can even be aliens on an interdimensional level, according to some. One hypothesis is that every person has a spirit guide who is constantly by his or her side. You and your spirit guide formed a contract, if you will, that he or she would steer you in the right direction to achieve specific purposes in life so that you could both grow spiritually. some other people believe that we're not limited to one guy. We can have several guides that help us at various times in our lives. This kind of makes sense. We have different mentors throughout our lives as well. Most psychics rely on their spirit guides to aid them when doing psychic readings, especially during seances, trance sessions, or channeling. For example, when doing trance work, a medium may use his or her guide as a control, kind of a gatekeeper, if you will, to manage who comes through and protect the channeler, protect the medium. Another hypothesis is that our spirit guide is really an aspect of ourselves, maybe one part of a twin flame where we have this dual nature, one part of our soul below, so to speak, and one part of our soul above, so to speak. Both parts of our soul constantly try to reunite and do so at the point of physical death of the body. A variation on this whole twin flame thing, though, is synonymous with a soulmate, and so we're not really in that context, we're really not talking about spirit guides at all. Many people also believe that we are guided by our higher self and not by any separate entity or guides. Some people believe in both. Communication with spirit guides is usually telepathic, but it can also include visual imagery, dreams, all of the clairs, you know, clairvoyance, clairsentience, and so forth, and intuition. There's also combinations possible. As far as contacting your spirit guide, it's usually done through meditation. Unless you're very psychic, you can contact them directly in some cases. And my advice for spirit guides, if in fact they exist, and there is some compelling evidence to suggest that they do, treat them like real people. You know, they kind of are. So treat them, you know, like real people. Build a relationship with them. A lot of people want to know, well, what's my guide's name? That's probably one of the most popular questions there are out there. And sometimes the name comes through and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes you end up naming them yourself. Apparently, that whole name thing, this is what I've gathered over my years. Apparently the name thing, which has always been very important to me, is not as important in that realm. And Vicki, you can chime in on this too. That's just what I've gathered. It's like never a burning goal to get the name through always. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
I rarely ask for names. It doesn't even occur to me. Unless some names do pop into my head, but usually there's a reason for it, to associate with a client or something that's significant that way. But the information I get, I don't think about names too much. I do assign kind of a name that I like for somebody, you know. But usually they're just terms of endearment, in my view, about what I call them. I have very rarely I've had a woman come to me when somebody's in need of healing, and I don't do a lot of healing work, but I try to stay focused more on what I specialize in. But on occasion, there will be an event where somebody can use some healing energy. And I have a holy woman. That's what I call her. She's a holy woman who will come in and help with the healing or the healing energy. And so I really don't think I do anything. I'm just a conduit, and she does it. But what is her name? I have no idea. I've never asked her, to be honest. There was a... there's another woman who's made an appearance to me on occasion, and she's always dressed in this very soft blue. I can see her face really clearly. She appears to be perhaps in her 30s, mid-30s. And so I mentioned this to a friend of mine once about, gee, this woman in blue came to see me again today. I don't get to see her very often. She goes, oh, the Virgin Mary came to you.
Cool.
You see, and I mean, okay, we can call her Mary. I don't mind if you want to. But I didn't, in my mind, I didn't relate her that way. But, you know, we can talk about this later. There's a lot of religious connotations also.
Well,
a lot of people.
Talk about it now. I mean, it is true that one's concept of their own spirit guides is going to be influenced by the religious beliefs or other beliefs, correct?
Totally. You know, we each are raised with a frame of reference. Think of it as a brain programming. You know, it's how we filter an understanding of the world. And whatever you see thereafter, you're going to process through that filter. So if you are of a religious background who happens to have psychic experiences, you're going to relay them through your religious filter, which is, you know, that's a really interesting thing that I might like to bring up right now, is that angels, or the notion of angels, that's a very religious element to metaphysics, or what we call, you know, a mysticism, psychic phenomenon. The two don't go together. If somebody is truly of, let's say, a Christian background, and you're devoted to that particular belief system, you are not permitted, you can't see spirits, have angels or anything. And if you do, you're supposed to go to sainthood. You know, and I think there's this somehow kind of a justification that people go in to keep that original belief system that they have, you know, they've been ingrained with, and continue to be an evolving soul. So these two belief systems kind of collide. That's the way mm-hmm. I see it. And then people start to make up kind of their own religion and lots of justifications. I call it the Church of Justification, that, you know, well, the church doesn't understand, or, you know, yes, but they're outdated and, you know, it's archaic and, you know, the church's views. But it's, you know, it's really a conflict. It's a direct conflict of interest to see spirits, have guides, or any of those notions, and be of a religious belief system. So that has to be cleared up. Now, the next part of that is, I guess, to people want to aspire to that Christ experience, or that Christ light, or what they believe is that ultimate consciousness, enlightenment, realization,
Christ
something.
Mind.
Sure. And I mean, I appreciate that, except that now we go into the archangels, and people like to believe they each have, you know, a lot of people claim to have connections with the Archangel Michael, you know, or Christopher, or, and, you know, there's a list of them. And again, to associate with the Christianized idea of what it is to be enlightened. But if I can just kind of insert here to people, it's still a limitation. If you are attaching your thinking to any kind of formula, it is a limitation to expand consciousness. So it's kind of a, in my view, a direct conflict. So I do try to understand it, and I understand where people are coming from, and I understand why. I have liked to tackle my own mind to deprogram or debrief myself out of such ideas, which is why I don't give, you know, spirits, or I call them my friends, my spirit friends, I don't give them names or attach files to them to the best of my ability, because then I'm always meeting new spirits I've never met before.
Well, you know, that kind of brings up an issue that was brought up in the chat room, too, that I wanted to talk about. And there's a tendency by a lot of people to place a lot of importance on spirit guides and guardian angels and so forth. And that's what I want to question. You know, everything we teach at MCHS Church is about self-completeness. It's about finding the answers within yourself. And it, of course, I always repeat this because I just want it to be viewed in context. Finding the answers within yourself is the ultimate mission. That doesn't mean we can't seek advice at times. We can have confidants. We can ask opinions. But ultimately, we need to make those decisions. We need to find those answers within us. And so within that context, there's no prohibition to having any kind of a spirit, quote, guide. And I don't personally call them guides. I call them advisors, because I guide me, and I may seek advice at times from an advisor, human or otherwise, but it's still me who's guiding me. And so to me, that's very important. The problem with so many people's view of spirit guides is that they're putting them on a pedestal, they're putting them on high, when they are sentient beings like us. And I believe in equality among races. Everybody has their own gifts, including spirits and guides and all that. We all have our gifts, but that doesn't necessarily mean that one is better than another or higher than another. And so people end up almost revering these guides or putting them in a place above them. And that's not healthy. That's not healthy from our principles of belief. It's healthy to be your own guide. You can have your spirit advisor, fine, but be careful of that, because it's a conflict with everything we teach. So I wanted to point that out.
For a second, Doug.
I'm sorry?
You flipped out there for a second.
Well, only a second this time, huh? The last time I flipped out, they found me downtown.
But in keeping with what you're saying is, when we seek guidance, it does not mean we lose ourselves and the empowerment to ourselves. You know, I do happen to think spirits know a lot more than we do.
But that's true with everybody. I mean, some people know more than others. Everybody knows more than somebody else on something. Yeah, I mean, they may have a better perch, a better perspective on the realms. In fact, that goes in with logic, too. I mean, if they, you know, it's like, we living in a three-dimensional world have a better perspective than somebody living on a piece of paper. Okay, nobody really lives on a piece of paper, but you get the idea, a two-dimensional world. So yeah, we have a better perspective. They might, and they probably do. But, you know, still the same. You know, I mean, we're still worthy. You know, we're still important. We're still all of us equally. That's the
I think what it is, we're on Earth, they're not. Mm-hmm. And we are a complete individual, I believe, and have access to being more in our potential to be access our spirit memory or where we've come from. We have great potential to be more and greater. We do. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I'm the boss of me.
Yeah, and that's the point.
You know, and the last time I asked for the lotto winning numbers, you know, I said, look, $5 ain't what it used to be. You know, I mean, they do. They let me win $2. I love that. I mean, it just excites me. It pays for the ticket. And, you know,
no, $2 million, not two.
I know, and that's what I keep telling them. But they don't necessarily relate to this physical reality like we do. And there's a perception issue here. So I believe this.
Okay, so here's a question in the chat room. If you attract spirits and speak to guides and ordinary spirits, how do you say yes to confused or nice spirits and no to the negative, lower vibration spirits?
Know who you are. Know who you want to hang out with. That's as simple as that. I don't know any other way to put it.
Well, and that's absolutely true. And the way that I put that is to take your power back. Know who you are, why you are who you are, set boundaries. I personally believe and have seen evidence for this in my own experiences that there is almost a cosmic law, a universal law of respect for free will. And yeah, there are bullies everywhere, apparently, and sometimes they will try to take advantage of you. You know, whether it's a human being or spirit, doesn't matter. You know, of course, always be more afraid of humans than spirits, but, you know, there can be. Some people have reported psychic attacks and spirits harassing them and so forth. But if you put your foot down, if you demand it, if you are firm, if you know who you are, it's could be characterized like this. If I'm a kid on the schoolyard and a bully is picking on me and I say, no, please don't. I don't want to be picked on. Don't do that to me. What's the bully going to do? Keep picking on me. But, you know, if I look at him square in the eye and I say, don't even think about crossing that line. And I stare at them, and I put up a defense, and I stand strong and tall. They're going to think twice, because bullies are cowards, regardless of what realm they live in. And they're going to go somewhere else, somewhere where there's easier pickings, so to speak. So when you take your power back, and that means know who you are, why you are who you are, establish your boundaries, and hold to them. Don't keep moving the boundary line back. The closer they come, you stand firm. That is the way that you can guard those. And in terms of nice spirits and mean spirits, most people don't have to deal with any kind of mean spirits. There have been reports of them. A lot of times spirits don't know they're bothering you. They're trying to, if you're psychic at all, you're like a light in a dark room. You know, they're drawn to you and they're looking for something. They might think you can help them make contact with somebody or help them in some way. So a lot of times they just don't even realize that they're bothering. You have to let them know. And you view spirits, all of them, just like you would people. You know, you treat them with the same respect and dignity and firmness at times as you would people.
You know, I've invited some bad spirits in for tea and they don't want to come.
So, I know.
This is when you are really, really certain about who you are, and I mean, you are certain of it, and you don't budge because you have your core values, your core sense of self, and it just, you're a rock. Now, that's not to say, you know, spirit, some kind of energy can't whack you upside the head once in a while. You know, it's like, whoa, what was that just flew by? But, you know, again, you just remind yourself and have no fear. See, this fear is the kicker. If you have any insecurity, if you have any vulnerability, if you have any fear, you know, sure, energy's attached to energies. So it'll happen. But it's real simple. You just take your power back. And look, it sounds simple, and I can say it simply. Doug can say it simply. But when you're in it and there's an emotional experience, I do appreciate that it can be alarming and it can be scary. But when you get past that initial thing of, oh, my God, then you just kind of suck it up and say, no. I'm the boss of me. You can't have me. And go back into kind of what you just learned about yourself in that moment. That, oh, there's another fear I didn't know about. There's another insecurity I didn't know about. And that's opportunity to become more self-certain. And again, that self-certainty to me is when you're right down in your core solar plexus, you know who you are. If we can just address, you know, going back to, are people born with guides? I think every baby born onto the planet has assistance, not only in the physical world here, but also from some other energetic world or, you know, entity world. I believe that, and it's my view of it, and I kind of like that view. So I think that in my experience as a child, there was always that thin veil between the worlds where we're more in tune. Are they assigned to us? You know, I happen to believe that some of them elect to come and hang out. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to take that one.
Yeah, but then there's that evidence with Thomas that, you know, twin. We'll get to that a little bit, but...
Yeah. See, and that's a very good one. I really like that discussion about twins, twin energies, twin souls. It's that, again, the polarities of energy. That's fascinating discussion. But as we change and as we grow, I don't think we necessarily keep that one spirit guide or that one guardian angel, as some people call it. I think that they can come and go, and I do believe that very often we have more than one. I have always had certainly a bunch of them. Sometimes it's a crew. And because they're not just my spirits. It's kind of, when I sit with somebody, it's like my spirits meet your spirits and they kind of have a discussion and I filter it to the best of my ability through my, you know, my audio, my psychic audio mind and the visual senses too if I get them. But I think that this is where people don't just walk with their own energy, they walk with their other spirit energy. Now, keeping clear, this is very common talk among indigenous communities. You know, Native American philosophies are that way. We can, Well, we can reference any old culture that still firmly believes in the spirit realms, and they will agree with what we're talking about. So, I mean, if you're into history and you like culture, then it's fascinating. But I believe that we have many of them that walk with us. And maybe there is only one here today. I don't know. But that's fair enough.
Well, it's like, how many different mentors do we have, or do we have over the years? We might have more than one for different reasons in different areas. You know, can it
sure.
be different?
Yeah, and that's the question right here in the chat room. When we have a spiritual guide from a younger age, do they ever move on? Like, they have a purpose to achieve, and once they get us to that point, they move on to another, or do they stay with us until we move on to the spirit world ourselves? You know, and that's actually a very legitimate question, like, what is their deal? I think in part there, what, you know, we're being asked here is, because if a spirit is attached to a human, what about that spirit's their own evolution? Like, do they reincarnate, or do they just hang around in the cosmos? Like, what do they do? But I do think that spirits or these other entities might be better at with kids than they are adults. I don't know. I think it's much like people. I really do. I think that one is good at this, one is good at that, and they're going to meet these people as humans as they go along. And there's a changing of the guard, so to speak. If you evolve or, you know, really expand your consciousness, I think it's fair to say that whatever spirits have been with you to that point, well, they're going to call in the troops for help, you know, and say, wow, you know, this is a big epiphany going on here. Let's go, you know, consult the committee, which I might add, it's a very interesting point, too, because it is a belief, and I've had some experience with this, that spirits do travel in committees, or there are committees or levels of consciousness in the spirit world. So I think maybe there's, let's say if there is a committee of, I don't know, 12, and oh, and each of them have a job with certain folks, they'll go out and do that and trade off sometimes. I think anything is possible, that we can satisfy ourselves to agree that there is some kind of guidance that we get from other dimensions, even though we don't necessarily understand what that is, because I think everybody's going to have their own experience of that. So
yeah,
I think that's fair enough.
And that would seem to be the case. And what I would like to do is kind of offer my own thinking on that matter about, okay, for guides, how exactly do they guide us? And then I'd also like to hammer home the point we made earlier on how to protect yourself. As far as guides, okay, let's just assume for a moment we have these guides, these advisors. You know, how do they communicate with you if you're not psychic? You know, if you can't noticeably detect them or hear them, you know, how does that guidance come through?
That's a very good question.
And it is. And, you know, like in my case, okay, I presumably have a spirit advisor named Thomas Francis, and I get my indications from him through Vicky, and I've gotten indications from other psychics as well in the past. But I don't directly pick up on much. I may have had a dream, but that's a recent thing. I don't normally have those kinds of dreams either. So you have to ask, okay, if they're there, how do I connect with them? How does it all work? You know, is there some, are they doing it unconsciously? You know, is it an unconscious process? Who knows? But it could be. So a guide or an advisor is like any human advisor, counselor, whatever. If they're good, they can draw the answers out of you. You know, they're not giving you the answers, they're drawing them out of you. You're coming up with them, but they're guiding you or leading you or rather directing you in a certain way that you find those answers. So that would obviously stand to reason. And then as far as the energy drains and psychic attacks and all that, again, I can't emphasize enough. And this is not something you just flip on, snap on. It takes personal growth. It takes work to to know who you are and why you are who you are. I often think, what if, let's just create a scenario here. You're in a bank, and robbers come in and hold up the bank, and there's several of them, and the police, you know, come in on the scene, and now everybody's kind of holed up in this bank, and the robbers are telling them that, you know, they need their bus and plane and whatever, or they're going to start killing bank patrons, you know. And if you think about it for a minute, you know, I often wonder, okay, so now I'm next, and they tell me to get on my knees. I don't think so. I ain't going to do it. I'm a little angry here. I have some righteous indignation. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill me standing up. You know, so when somebody's bullying you, where's your righteous indignation? Where is your passion? Where is your justice, sense of justice for what is right? And that's what's got to come through. It doesn't matter who it is. And I'm not saying to act inappropriately. I'm just saying that you need to know who you are and why you are who you are. And if somebody's trying to drain you, I mean, my Lord, I've been around people in my life who are energy vampires. We all have. They don't perhaps even know it, but they're high maintenance people that they drain you. And so you can't be around them, and you have to set those boundaries. The same with spirits. You know, I've heard these stories about spirits, you know, attaching, and I can't say from experience that I've ever had that happen. But, you know, my opinion, I mean, so many of these paranormal investigators are afraid of spirits following them home, and I'm afraid they won't follow me home. You know, I'd rather investigate in the comfort of my own home rather than go somewhere. So I've never had a problem with it. And anybody I know who's in that work in paranormal research, who has a strong sense of who they are, does not have a problem with it. And that includes psychically sensitive people. Vicki, you were just talking about that a moment ago. You know,
actually,
go ahead.
No, finish your sentence. Sorry.
No, I was opening it up to you.
You just brought to mind a doctor I have known for a number of years who works in emergency and deals with the hardest of the hard cases, of course, and around death a lot. He and his wife and the family were having terrible times in their home, and sure enough, there were some spirits following him home from the hospital, and it was very simple. I told him, when you leave that hospital, you tell everybody to stay there. You know, they can't come home with you. So, you know, it's just an order kind of that you have to give, you know. So it just brought that little story to mind. But, you know, it's kind of like you're not the boss of me. We all have the choices. We have choices in life. We have choices in our psyche. I think that messages can come through in a varying number of ways. Dreams are one of them. And if you have, let's say you have a thought that's not your own, you wonder, where did that come from? I think that is connecting with that so-called spirit guide or other energies that are around you that you're picking up. How often has somebody had an idea and then lo and behold, a month later, it's an invention out on the, on the marketplace somewhere. Say, hey, I thought about that.
Yeah.
Because we are tapping into this, you know, universal, what I call energy streams that are available to ourselves as well as spirits. Spirits can either deliver them, we can pick them up in different ways. So I think anything that's not of your own mind, because you know how your mind works, you really do. If you get to know yourself, you say, well, I'm just not capable of thinking that. I wouldn't have had that thought. So it came from somewhere. That's a good start, just to say, you know, it came from some source. I don't know what that is. And then just keep exploring. I think that's a good way. I understand that you have a caller.
They were disconnected. They might be back on. So we'll talk
right.
for just a minute, and then we'll see. Hold on just a second.
You know, one of the other things that somebody's asking, Doug, and we can talk about this in a few minutes, but... how did you get your spirit guide's name, and did he tell you something about his earth experience? And this might be a good time to just very quickly insert that you had originally gotten his name as Stanley from certain sources. I tuned in, and he was very clear to tell me his name was Thomas Francis, but mm-hmm. it's Thomas Francis Stanley. Mm-hmm. And he came in the form of a monk to me, and he'd appeared to others that you know as a monk.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where that twin soul kind of experience, Thomas Francis is in a way like Doug's twin, but in the spirit world. So they're twin souls. Like each of the other half of the other, they've shared lifetimes together. That's my understanding. And this is what Thomas Francis has told me before, that they have shared other time periods or other experiences or other aspects of consciousness together. And Thomas Francis comes and he helps Doug out and teaches them things. But let's be clear, Thomas Francis is learning too. You know, because sometimes they need to know a little bit more about what's going on the earth from the earth perspective. So it's fair to have just...
It's fair to...
It's fair to be able to say to them, look, you got to give it to me another way, Thomas Francis, because I don't get that down here. This is how it works here. You know, my understanding, so maybe you can help my mind out. You know, help me in a way of thinking or help me expand my mind. So Doug and Thomas Francis have a particularly unique experience in knowing each other, and they can have that kind of relationship. So it is a unique one in that they're one in the same but different.
Yeah, and we'll touch a little bit more on hopefully Thomas Francis will make an appearance. We can connect with him. We do have our caller back. Celine, welcome to the program.
Hi.
You have a question for Dr. Vicki?
Yes. I'd like to know Vicki, if you have a message from my grandparents.
Well,
grandmother, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just tell me your birthday, Celine, please.
March 18, 1970.
Okay, it just helps me to, you know, when there's so many in the ethers, this is just a helpful way for me to plug in with you. You know, I'm not sure. I get the letter E. Does that mean anything to you?
Elizabeth? Yeah, that is my grandmother.
Okay, because that is a big E. Did they have a nickname for her to call her? I know it's like she would have an important role in the community where they would revere her in some way. Like they would call her, I don't mean to sound derogatory, but like I just see this big E, like she was bigger than life and had an important role. Does that make sense?
I have to say, yeah. She was very active, you know, interactive in the church.
Have you been worried about someone who's been sick, Celine?
My mother.
You've been worried about her?
Yes, she has a cough that's, you know, pretty persistent.
Yeah, because this E, Elizabeth, as you're calling her, is really telling you not to worry so much. You worry about loss, and you're worried about being left alone. That's perhaps your biggest fear, isn't it?
Oh, you say me being left alone?
Yeah. You don't like that being kind of left alone thing. She's saying not to worry. Your mom's not leaving anytime soon. If you want to know, I think that your mother's, I want to say that her lungs are not expanding. When you say she has a cold, I just think that I'm going to tell you, I think she needs a chiropractor. I know that might be kind of off the wall, but she needs to have her, like her rib cage open, like the muscles, or even a really good massage that is able to expand her breathing and that she can actually heal. So that's the picture that I get here. But she's just saying, it's like she wants me to put my hand on your head and just kind of stroke your hair and tell you, it's okay, don't worry so much. that's the message. Now, when you say grandfather, does the letter P, as in a place, mean anything to you? Like, was he from a place with a P in it? Like the P is the first letter.
Is it grandfather?
Because I'm seeing a man and there's a sign and it's a P, and it's all one word though. It's not like port something where it's two words. It's all one word and not a very big place. It would just be a, but I can see a picture of him leaning up against this sign that says welcome to something. So I guess that's a message in a way for you to know that yes, he visits you too. And there's a young man in particular that he visits and checks in on from time to time.
You said there's a young man that he visits?
That he checks in on from time to time. It would be like, it's not David, but there's a David association here. He would be called David, but that wasn't his real name. Does that make sense to you?
I don't have a clue with that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. May I add, I'm trying to relocate to a temporary place, due to my circumstances. Do they have a message for me with the move? Because I've been, looking tirelessly.
You know, they're with you, Celine, and the right away, I want to say go west of where you are, like just west of your area, because I want to look out. Sorry?
No, because I understand, because I'm in the east, so you're telling me to go west.
My feeling is I want to look west. I want to look in the direction of west or west of where you are, but not that far, maybe even a couple of hours, just going west a bit. And she's saying that you would know people there, and there could be some people there who would help you. So maybe open your mind. I guess
I just have no clarity.
Yeah. You have relatives who are east of you?
No, I don't.
Or west of you, sorry? I think you're going to find out that you have, and I'd really like you to stay in touch and get some feedback later, because my feeling is that you're going to find out that you have a relative west of you, and you're gonna link up there. Really, the message to you, Celine, is you're going to be okay. I know it's tough right now, and I can hear it in your voice, so it's not being psychic. I can feel your fire's a little low. But just hang in there a little bit longer. Like, if you can hang in there another 2-3 weeks, there's going to be a big, huge door open up for you. So just another couple of weeks, hang on. Okay?
Okay. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, Celine.
Thank you, too. By the way, what's your name?
Mine? Doug
Mel
Kelly?
Voice? Yeah.
Doug Kelly.
Doug Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
In the voice.
Oh, thank you.
And if you're here, it's in the flesh, too. But if you're on the radio, it's just in the voice.
The yes, voice I got it now.
Thanks for calling, you, and good luck to you.
Thanks again. You do.
Okay, I'm sorry. I cut her off just a little bit quick. Sorry about that, Celine. Vicki, we do have another caller. With a question,
sure.
And we don't have a lot of time left, so we'll get about 15 minutes.
Okay. Sure.
Sarah, welcome to the program. You have a question for Vicki?
Hi,
Sarah.
Vicki. Hi, how are you?
Good. You have a question, Sarah?
It's
yes,
Sarah.
Sarah.
Yeah, I've been listening into your show, and I'm glad I was able to tune in, and I've really been enjoying it.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
what's your birthday, Sarah?
It's February 15th. The year is 1970.
Happy
birthday. You have a birthday coming up.
Oh, yeah. Don't remind me. 1 year
old.
Happy
birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. You're in a change time also. You're in a... you know, when you're in a four cycle, you're in a four cycle right now this whole year, and it's one about, it's one about breaking down barriers, it's breaking down thoughts, and it's interesting that you would tune into the show today too, because I think that you're starting to be a little bit more intuitive and self-aware and starting to have a few psychic experiences. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I've been told I am intuitive. And I pick up on stuff sometimes, and I just hunches, and when people are around me, you know, some people I get a good feel, or people I get a bad feel, and sometimes I get hunches about things. So.
Yeah. Well, this could be a real development time for you, Sarah. And just a little bit of advice, sometimes when you get these random kinds of psychic experiences, it doesn't mean you're supposed to do anything with it. That's just for your own benefit of learning. Because sometimes, understand that these very intuitive experiences just will happen randomly until you learn how to focus the energy and focus the intent. And kind of there is this rule of non-interference. So unless somebody asks you for... maybe a bit of your advice or intuition, try to stay quiet, because it's very tricky when you start getting as many psychic flashes as you are to not want to leap in and help somebody out. But there's just an element of caution as you're learning, because you don't want to overload, you know, and that's where I think you're quite sensitive this year. There's a lot of changes going on, and you're having a lot of relationship changes in this year. So don't take it to heart. It's all part of your changing of the guard. Sometimes we have to, you know, life just will do that with us, you know, where some people just all move on, and now it's time to make new friends and start reaching out in new ways to more like-minded people, people who are, you know, be on your ride for the next part of your journey. So this is an interesting time for you. I can't stress enough to be kind to yourself and don't take everything too literal or too much to heart, okay?
Right. I just wanted to see if, you know, if spirits or my guardian angel is picking up anything as far as my love life or relationship or anything at all.
Well, it's as I said, a lot of these things are changing for you this year. So I think you'll know better how you want relationships to be, not just what relationships you want, but how you want them to be as you get on into July, August, and September. So there'll be some changes there, and you'll be making some pretty big decisions. But I feel really optimistic. You're going to be very adventurous next year and a lot more confident. So just keep growing. This is a growing year. Keep going.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Sarah. Okay.
All right, so Vicki, now that you're all warmed up, I'd like to know if Thomas Francis is making an appearance.
Well, I've felt his presence around for a while now, so
good.
I don't necessarily hear him talking in my head yet, but I certainly feel him here.
Pills.
I don't know if he's ever too far away, to be honest. I think there's a few months there where we weren't really connecting with him or felt like he was, but you know, they're around. I think they're just not coming in the sphere, so to speak.
So
I don't think they ever really leave us.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And I'd like to ask Thomas to come in to the sphere, as you put it, and you know, and let me know if he responds or not. If he doesn't, fine, we'll move on. But
just so we know, I don't do Ramtha.
Okay, no Ramtha for you.
No Ramtha for me. No Thomas Francis for me. All right.
Okay, so, you know, I guess some questions for Thomas Francis is, you know, some of the ones we've been talking about tonight. You know, Thomas, do people have these spirit guides or advisors? Do they have one or do they have many? What it, saith you?
Many. And there is never one alone. Just like people are never alone, spirits are never alone.
Okay.
So there is always access to support.
Okay, so does that mean that they come when they're around, like Thomas now, I'm presuming, is around? Does that mean there's somebody else with him or several others with him?
Right now there are three others with him.
Ah, do we know who those three are?
Well, I can see three figures in my mind's eye. I see three figures, and I see one in particular who's right behind Thomas Francis. So it's, you know, I do feel like this is part of a bit of a committee, Doug. I do.
Go ahead.
I think that there are times when, in a way, they've got his back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I got your back. It's they're in support of him with you, and certainly with the people. They offer their knowledge if it's required.
So this one that's standing behind him, has he appeared before to when you and I have been?
You know, he's familiar, but, you know, for the purpose of the show, I'm trying to go through this quickly.
Sure.
Just so the audience knows, very often these processes are quite slow.
Yeah, they are.
And it takes a moment to, you know, really formulate. And I really have this thing about accuracy, so I like to take my time. So this is happening very quickly. There is this one behind. He does look familiar to me, but right at this moment, I keep seeing this brown robe. He's got on this brown robe much the same way the first time I saw Thomas Francis. The one behind him also has a brown robe. And I'm getting, the name just slipped right by my brain. It was right there and it went away.
It'll
Sorry. It'll come back later. Actually, he really likes this show, and he likes what they're doing with the show.
Well, so,
and he likes the discussion. He thinks it's wonderful that people are open. And this is how, in his view, this is how humanity continues to awaken its consciousness, is the openness and the open talking that, you know, and the inspiration to ask questions beyond what people are used to. That's the key.
Okay. So does he, aside from that, and I could give you a moment or two to formulate this, aside from that, does he or Thomas have a message regarding this topic of spirit guides for our listeners, something that, you know, might help them to understand things in a new way or a better way? And I'll let you think about that, let it come to you, and you can just interrupt me whenever you want. As long as I'm finished, just kidding.
But, you know, the greatest thing about human beings is the isolation from their soul memory. And the notion of having a guide gives comfort to not feeling alone and feeling in the isolation of being in the body. The body is a very isolated experience, and it gives a great amount of comfort to know that there are those of them who are here to bridge that gap, to make the connection, to know that human beings are not alone.
Yeah, that's a good message. And I can understand that. You know, nobody likes to be alone necessarily, but, you know, as long as we approach that with a healthy point of view, that, again, we are enough, everything we have is within us, you know, we're social animals as well. So it's nice to know that there's more to this existence than just what we see and perhaps feel here in this three- or four-dimensional world. So
there's another question, very interesting question in the chat room right now. Is it common for guides to give us messages through physical objects, like bringing us things we've lost and which have significance to us? You know, that will happen. Especially loved ones, people you have been very connected with in this lifetime who've crossed over, you know, you may well see a picture tipped over, or, you know, something has appeared that was attached or associated with the loved one. That's not uncommon. It actually happens more than we realize. It's most people are not necessarily observant. You know, we just write it off to, oh, I wonder where that came from. Who brought that out, you know? And yet, it wasn't human. It wasn't of a human doing.
It's yeah. Not human.
Common, yeah.
So, well, you know, I appreciate Thomas making an appearance and associates. And, you know, just to kind of recap what we've talked about tonight, you know, are there spirit guides? Well, there seems to be compelling evidence among a lot of people that there are. And I will tell you my own brief experience to this. I was highly skeptical about Thomas Francis Stanley in the beginning, and I kept getting these validations from time to time. And here nearly a year ago now, when I was talking with Vicki on Skype, and I asked her, anybody around me? And I was expecting and hoping my dad might be. Well, she says, yeah, there's a monk around you. And that, I about fell off my chair, because that was the guy that had been reported to me like 2 or 3 years before that. And I had gotten bits and pieces. And finally, when Vicki and I were able to talk more about it, a lot more came into line. And then I started having all these synchronistic validations about Thomas, and it's been so compelling to me, somebody who's skeptical about it. And you know me, if you've listened to this any length of time, you know I need I want objective proof if I can get it, or at the very least I want a logically defensible basis for believing in it. And I've gotten that. I can't deny many of the synchronistic things that have happened that have been almost in your face, you know, to me. And I won't go into them because we don't have that much time. But anyway,
you know,
we talked about...
If we can just inject, because this, I think, is a really good one, a question asked in the chat, can we have spirits that were animals or old animals and perhaps that they come back? Absolutely. I went to visit a woman one day, and I later said, well, where's your cat? It was right there at the door. She goes, oh, yes, he's here often. But, of course, it was her spirit cat. So I got lots of stories about animals. It's just a wonderful topic. And perhaps we can talk more about that in another show, Doug.
Yeah.
It's a very exciting topic, yeah.
Well.
So, you know, again, this hour just flew by. It just flew by, and we're so grateful for all our listeners, people to support the show, and it keeps us going and motivated. If anybody has any show topics, please feel free to email in or, you know, give us a note sometime. That'd be great.
Yeah. And thanks to Reverend John Hightower for screening calls tonight, as always. And we thank those who did call in and those who participated in the chat room and those who just listened. And, of course, those who are listening to the archive. Please join us next week. We'll have another topic for you on metaphysics, and we'll continue to do this. I think that's all I've got on my agenda. So
I have one more thing.
Go
it's
ahead.
Doug's birthday on the 13th. It just reminded me this. We have birthday girl on the 15th. Doug Kelly's birthday is on the 13th, folks. So,
yeah, and I'm going to be 29.53.
Yeah. So happy birthday, Doug, and we'll make
Thanks.
Mention of it next week, too. So just imagine that we're building you an angel food cake.
Well, I'll imagine eating it, too.
Good night, everybody.
Take care. See you next week.